Hey, Andrew, you are given one sentence you get to share with America about alcohol.
Most healthy adults can safely consume.
There we go.
1 to 2 drinks per week before the negative effects of alcohol start to set in.
You're cutting out. You're cutting out. You're cutting out. 100%. Cheers.
Thanks for having me over.
Thanks, Tom. You ever watch Lex Friedman's podcast?
I've seen clips. I haven't like watched.
I was supposed to do it, but I don't think I can. So I'm going to be in Red Rocks. He has the most thoughtful questions, where he says, "I'll do a Lex Friedman question." Okay. And by the way, I hope it doesn't. Sometimes I say things on this podcast that sounds like I'm shitting on people.
Lex lives in Austin.
No.
Yeah.
Does he really?
He lives in Austin.
Oh, then why don't I do his podcast when I'm in Austin?
Hey, how about my invite, Lex?
Yeah. What the fuck, Lex? He did a podcast with Tim Dillon. It's really good.
Really?
And he did one with Mark Norman. And Mark Norman, you could tell Mark thinks he's bombing the whole time, because Mark normally bombs on podcasts. But but he's like,
he was great when he did Two Bears.
He's like, am I doing okay? Lex Friedman, this is ready.
Okay.
Tom, you don't talk much about depression, but I'm assuming you've dealt with it as an insightful man who has explored all aspects of his life, well read. What's your approach to depression?
Jesus, Lex. You're right, and I wasn't expecting to go there.
You'd be good on Lex Friedman's podcast. He did that to Jordan Friedman. Jordan Peterson.
Uh-huh.
Because Jordan Peterson's dealt with the depression. I guess he's talked about it.
Yeah.
And Lex Friedman did a great podcast. He does great podcasts. I'm going to give you, like, not all of them are for me. Like, when you talk to a scientist, and I know Lex Friedman's like an AE scientist or something.
Isn't he also like a mathematician? Isn't he like
something? He's Russian.
That's okay.
He's Russian and he likes to party.
He does?
Well, I think he's like a together guy. Uh-huh. But he does like to party. This motherfucker gets up. This is why I like Lex Friedman. What inspires you? Okay, Tom, who inspires you these days?
Different people inspire me. I pull it from different aspects. So like we talk about the fitness stuff. I get inspiration from.
Give me names.
Well,
I'm writing them down. Give me names.
First, Sean Nix, who I work with.
Sean Nix, your trainer and a great photographer. Great photographer. You really hit two birds with one stone.
I really did.
Two caves with one bird. Keep going.
Mark Bell.
Smelly
Bell, yeah.
Mark Bell had the best post the other day that I reshared. Can you go pull up Mark Bell? People say, go to his Mark Bell. He tagged me in it. It was so interesting because, you know, I'm so sensitive that the first time I heard of Mark Bell, go to Mark Bell, I was like, oh, he fucking hates me.
Which one?
Right there, the one within the dead center. Write that one. Read, can you read that? Read that, Tom. Yeah.
I hear people say it's easier for you because you're rich, and it's easier for you because you're ripped. It's easier for you because you're on steroids, and they are right. Be rich, be less fat, be ripped, be on steroids. If you think something I have or something someone else has would make your life better or easier, go and earn it or go get it. Race to zero followers, hashtag race to zero.
Go back to the thing, go back to his picture, hit the picture, hit the tag. Who did he tag in that picture? Burt Kreischer. Oh, wait, that says YMA Studios.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah. And Burt Kreischer. It's a bunch of people. I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just tagged me.
Oh, yeah.
And then I signed up to go do steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mark Bell. Mark Bell is super inspirational. You know, he used to be fat. I watched him blow out both his knees.
Well, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
on Two Bears.
He was muscular and fat, though. It's important to point out.
I got it. I know.
He was.
I am that. Keep going.
He was 330.
330?
330. A competitive world-class power lifter. And he, so that body that you see was under another like 100 pounds.
No. I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what mine is.
That's what yours is.
Right now, if you subtracted all my fat, I would be pretty ripped.
Right.
Like I'm muscular as fucking shit.
Okay.
I can do this with my shirt. I mean, my fucking.
Look at that thing. Jesus Christ.
It's so much bigger than this arm.
think this one.
Deal.
I can't, like, my. This is the injured one.
That bicep looks good.
That bicep actually looks good. Overcompensates for the other.
Okay,
the
so injury. Keep going. So Mark Bell, we're talking about inspiration. This is the Lex Friedman inspired podcast.
I mean, sexually, Rocco Siffredi, you know, huge inspiration.
I want to play a game with Lex Friedman. Things I know that you don't know. And I guarantee we never saw One Night in Paris with Savannah Sampson. I guarantee you, Lex Friedman. By the way, I need everyone to know who Lex Friedman
is.
I
think it's so fun if people... No one will do... It's like, you know, the whole thing, like, it'd be great to just see everyone naked, you know? Just to, like...
Yeah.
It would be so fun if people were completely transparent about their kinks and like what they're into. I think it'd be so fun to learn because people make assumptions, you know, about people. That'd be the best to learn that.
If you could put on a pair of x-ray glasses
and be like, what are you into? And you just see that like someone's like, you know, I like
that's choked, a fucking like, interesting movie pitch is a guy not who sees dead people, but he sees people and then you see like a and then you see them in their sexual thing they like.
What they like.
Yeah, he could like turn it on.
Dog chains. Yeah. That'd be so fun, right?
You just see me going, say you love me.
And then the glasses, and then the person turns to Leanne, and it just shows her going, nope.
Nope. Do the dishes, motherfucker.
Yep.
All right. Sexually, Rocco Siffredi.
Absolutely.
Okay. Who are your biggest comedic inspirations?
I take a lot of inspiration at different times from different people. You know, my favorite thing.
I thought you were going to say me.
My favorite thing to remember before I go on stage, because I forget, is I think I'm at my funniest as a stand-up on stage when I go on stage in a silly mood. Really? Silly for me is the best way
it's like
to...
You loosen up your Rolex and go, it's so loose.
I just feel like...
Where are my Porskis? There's
I just feel like silly is fun, like playful.
Yeah.
And like it's the best way for me to go on stage, and I forget, and the person that reminds me of that is actually Eddie Murphy. Because Eddie Murphy, when he was like 21 doing stand-up, there was a silliness with which he went on stage. And so I try to remind myself of that. Like I'll just look at a photo of him. Just like I'm saying, he was so masterful, but there's like that silliness is what I aspire to be like.
Yeah.
I took a lot of inspiration for, you know, I told you I funded and shot my own episode of television that I wanted to make. Yeah, yeah. And I spent a fortune doing it.
How much? Give me a price point on just low hands, like taps.
What I spent on it?
Yeah.
Dude, I spent $1 million on it.
I can't wait to see this.
It looks like more.
First of all, I know what 40 grand looks like when you spend it, because that was your dance video.
Yeah.
And that thing looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
This is going to be legit. For real?
Actually, more. But
really?
A little more, yeah.
Fuck yes. And see, that's where my head's at.
But that inspiration I got, no joke, for sure, of doing that was from Louis.
God damn, they're going to say me again.
Because I remember Louis.
Horace and Pete.
Well, it's that I talked to him a while ago. This is where I got the idea to actually.
And who introduced you to Louis? Keep going.
You introduced me to Louis.
Thank you. Fucking finally. This whole thing, but I'm just trying to get Bert written down. Okay, so, keep going with Louis thing.
So I remember talking to Louis once about, this is a while ago. Remember when we first started doing the live shows during the pandemic? Like when I was doing YMH Live?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like Louis did them too?
No. So he was
in the middle of getting canceled during this.
He and I talked. During that period after we'd done a couple, and he goes, you know what you should do? Because I was like, these have become very popular and they're very successful and they're bringing in all this revenue. He goes, you need to take the profits from like one or a couple and actually spend that money on making something awesome so that when people go to the next one, they're like, oh, it's not just the same show again, you're raising the value. Yeah. So we started to do that within the live shows. Like every time we would do another live show, we would spend more money on like the original content, like this sketch. So like this last one spent like several hundred thousand dollars making it.
Okay.
But
I'm already writing down notes for our live show. about what we should do.
Because, but it's, and what you realize is that it's worth it. It's worth it to, for the entertainment value. But that that conversation also made me go, I should take some of this excess that I'm making from touring and from, and make something I want to make. And so that's why I wrote this show.
Do you have a title for it?
Yeah, but I don't want to say it. Okay. Yet. But
for whites only.
Yeah, it's like, it's our water fountain is what it's called.
I used to have a joke about that. Really? You know who's really upset about segregation? The guy making water fountains.
Yeah.
You know, he must have been like, oh, they're going to drink out of the same one? I was selling them two at a time.
Two at a time.
Keep going.
So that was the inspiration to, like, I'd written this thing, and what I was going to do originally was just shoot one of these, like, short films that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Because I'd done that before, and I was like, I'll just make one. And then I had that idea where I was like, you know what? I should shoot this whole, make multiples, make it a television show. And I talked to a producer, and, you know, he goes, how much do you want to spend? I didn't say $1 million. I said significantly less. He's like, I think we could do it for that. And then as we're getting into the production, it was like the price just kept going up and up. And at one point I was just like, I guess I'm in on this.
Yeah.
And I've seen a couple cut. It looks.
When do I get to see it cut? I should wait it to watch it when you're done.
I think it would be most fun to show you it completely done.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm going to love it regardless.
I think you're going to laugh very, very hard.
Can I tell you, and by the way, I know I'm going to get in trouble with my quote-unquote team when I say this.
Yeah.
So we were in a development deal that someone showed up and just was like, hey, man, I'm not ready. This was yesterday.
In the meeting?
Before the meeting, they were like, I'm not going to make this meeting. I'm not ready.
Team?
No. Someone in the I'm not ready. And by the way, I'm in a few deals right now. So if you think I'm talking about you, I'm not. Okay? Because I know there's actually a couple people that, there's one that just called me like a second ago who is also like, hey, man, I can't make the meeting. A lot of people, I think since COVID, a lot of people's idea of, what a work week looks is a little different than what it is. And so, by the way, and I'm also not talking about you, okay?
Oh, okay.
Motherfucker. Like, I just realized there's another dude that's like, hold on. I thought we were cool. I told you
yeah,
I was.
Yeah.
So I literally, in the meeting yesterday, this dude that I've wanted to work with this guy a couple times, he just was like, I'm not ready. I don't have it thought out. I'm not there yet. And then I was just like, I'm out. I literally said in the meeting, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to wait for Hollywood to make something because I have a project that it took a while to get the script. I have our project, which obviously we're still waiting for a script. I have this project where no one.
Our project, by the way, Homeboy's coming out.
I know. Yeah. I'm excited. But it's like, that's the way Hollywood works. There's and look, if anyone, Kale right now, if Kale was listening, he'd go, oh, that's how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
It takes a while. Yeah. That's why that's the, you know, I gotta, you know. But it's true. But the thing me and you operate on is I don't have to wait. Yeah. I sat in the meeting and I said, I have money. I want to make something. The thing I wanted that I pitched that everyone loved, that I go, I just want to make it. And it's interesting because everyone has a different take. My business manager is like, let's do it. He's like, yeah, I would love to double down on your money. Like, that's the people that bet on themselves win the biggest.
Yeah.
But I drew inspiration from you because you were like, I'm going to make my own thing. And I was like, for real? And you legit made your own thing. Didn't put me in it, which is totally cool. I get it. You know, Hannibal's a lot more talented than I am. But again, I'm sure Mulaney was available. But fucking, how come no one ever puts me in anything? Anyway, but I go, I'm going to fucking make my own thing. I'm going to make my own thing and just do it and write it for myself. But write it what makes me laugh.
That's of course how to do it.
Because even when we did The Machine, I went through and if I didn't like a scene, I just rewrote it and was like, I take it to Peter and go, what do you think of this? And Peter and Kale, and they'd be like, love it, let's do it. And I'd be like, great. And so I go, I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna do my own thing. I'll make it myself. I'm not gonna spend $1 million.
But you are making a show that you wanna make?
Well, it's so funny. The second I said I'm doing that in that meeting, literally on the car ride home, Judy's like, two meetings at your house on Friday, fucking .. I'm still on your team if you want to make it, but let's make it with other people's money. And I was like, oh, I just want to make it. I'm just so tired of fucking Hollywood.
What is it, though? Is it a show?
Yeah, it's a sitcom. It's not a sitcom. It's a single camera. I want to do a single camera sitcom where I, because I know what makes me funny. I know where I excelled in the machine. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more of it. In all honesty, that's my only regret, is I'd never seen myself on anything. And now that I see myself on stuff, I go, oh, my God, I'm funny when I do that.
Here's the part, though. That this is like, I mean, definitely take your meetings and have your, you know, conversations.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you got to part with your own money when you spend your money.
Yeah.
But it makes it 100% your thing and your decisions and your choices. And you don't have to consult or ask anything. And that's the advantage of spending your own money to do it.
See, I would get, can I be very honest? I would want, like, it's so funny. There are people that, like, if I say I get a Rogan deal and I get $100 million, whatever, $110 million, whatever you got. Say I get a Rogan deal, I get a lot of money. Okay, right. There are people that I think are, I use the phrase worth their BMW, meaning everyone you pay in Hollywood, the first thing they do is they go get a BMW with that money.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, you got to realize, I'm paying people a bunch of BMW notes. Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm paying BMW notes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, are you worth your BMW? Is the way I look at
That's very funny.
And there's people that are not worth their BMW. They're not.
Yeah.
That I see them in their BMW and I resent them as they pull into valet and I'm like, that's a nice one. Five series?
Yeah.
Wow. The thing I go, you don't earn your BMW.
Yeah. And I know because I bought that fucking
BMW. Yeah. And so you got to earn your BMW. And there's a dude I know. Kale earns his Range Rover.
Yeah.
Kale earns his, like, when you're all set with Kale.
And Kale actually at one time had a BMW that is gone.
That is why he got his BMW stolen.
Hey, man, I'll bring it back tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to smoke a cigar. Have a drink. Right. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Hey, dog, I'll bring it back.
Hey, man, where are you? Oh, fucking, but Kale, like, there are people I would hire that I go, that guy is Peter Atencio. If I would hire him, whatever he wants, I would pay to direct something. The way he directs, the way he collaborates, the way he kind of works with someone.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, like, that's a fucking
bad
bitch.
The biggest thing is,
I love Alan Covert. Alan Covert is like I'd work with him for the rest of my life. He just is there are people that you go, they earn because they're so easy not, it's so easy to just not earn your money in Hollywood. It's so easy to go into a room. Most of the people just sit in a room and just go, you know, I gotta be honest. I'm gonna say this. I think we'd use a person of color, and that's what their one note is. And you're like, yeah, we were already thinking of that fuck face.
Yeah, and they're like,
it's so funny. I don't even that doesn't even.
Thanks for weighing in.
Yeah. Okay. I said it. I said it. So I'm gonna go get my BMW. You're like, just fucking be creative. Help me be creative, and then. Obviously, we're going to do the right thing when it comes to casting, but fucking help me be creative. How many black people do you have in your new project? Considering it's your money.
Yeah.
When you put your money where your mouth is.
Okay.
How many trans black females do you have in your...
I can tell you...
Is Hannibal in your thing?
No.
For real?
No, I have... let's see.
You know, Hannibal just does a lot of music now these lately.
He does. He's making music.
He's fucking good.
He's talented. Yeah, Hannibal's super talented.
Hannibal's a fucking fascinating dude.
Definitely, and it's definitely somebody who goes, I'll do this on my own.
Hannibal
is
a, Hannibal's a, don't worry, I'll earn my BMW from myself kind of motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how many black people are in this project? I'm counting in my head right now.
Really?
Yeah, they're not, well, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Nice.
Yeah,
wait, you tell me.
Yeah. And there are...
You've never had a blind spot to race, though. Like, no, you've never been, like, tone deaf.
No, there's Asians, there's Latinos, there's...
well, you are Latino.
The elderly, there's...
Oh, that's right. I've seen your videos. I know what you like. A lot of elderly.
There is some... I mean, I think you're going to... You're going
to
cry.
Did you give it to your managers and agent?
No, they have been... Because I told them what I was doing, and they're like, when do we see it? And I'm now we've actually... We've shot...
Everything's shot.
It's I go, we need another probably 8 weeks of post. So at this point, like 7 weeks in post. And then they're chomping at the bit. They're like, we want to see it. I go, yeah, you're going to see it. Don't worry. You're the first people I'll send it to.
First person I ever met, what's that?
I'm very excited about it.
First person I ever met who doubled down on himself, Dane Cook.
Dane.
Louis.
Yeah, Dane did an amazing job of that. He was the one who was like, connect to people, connect to fans, reach out to them. He also four-walled arenas on a tour. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
For real.
So you go, like, when most of us as comedians tour, whether it's a theater or an arena, a promoter, you work with a promoter, right?
Yeah,
and you get the deal, and there's like, here's your guarantee, here's your back end, here's the breakdown.
Four-walled arenas.
He would just go like, what's it cost to rent the United Center? And they'd be like, $350,000.
It's got to be more than that, right?
Well, I'm just making up number. Yeah, but then he'd be like, here's the check.
See what it's cost to rent Madison Square Garden.
That's one of the most expensive.
That's actually the most expensive one.
Yeah, that's a very expensive. There's actually...
The Amelia Center in Florida, Tampa.
There's a lot of times that
I'm doing the Amelia Center. I haven't announced it yet.
People do the garden and don't make money sometimes.
For real?
Yeah. That was in 2006.
To rent Madison Square Garden?
Well, that was...
Barclays.
Yeah.
So then, okay. But hang on. When you four-wall something...
Yeah.
You are just running the space. You haven't gotten all the employees and everything, right? Because that, I know for a fact, it doesn't. You're just running the space. And then on the money you make, you got to pay out everybody.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's much cheaper to rent Barclays, which is why a lot of acts are going there when they do their New York plays.
I wondered, Sebastian did Barclays, and I was like, wow.
He actually can, he's so popular in that New York area that he did an arena tour in the New York area.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he did like a Newark arena, a Barclays arena, a Madison Square Garden. Like he did all of them.
Can I tell you what I'm doing on my tour?
Yeah.
I'm going to soft pitch it to you. I'll just tell you after because I don't want to fucking.
Okay. This is what you're doing on tour?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to do it. I'll just wait. I'll tell you the name of the tour.
Wait, this is a new tour?
Yeah, I'm doing a tour. Starts January.
Okay.
Starts January. I told you where I'm in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing New Hour?
New Hour. Yeah. New Hour.
You have it already?
Yeah. I'm fucking 3 hours. I toured all through the pandemic. I have fucking so much material. I got to get rid of shit. So yeah, I have New Hour from just going to Europe with the girls. I'm calling it the. And I'm hitting all. Mm-hmm.
For real? You really gonna do that?
I swear to God.
How long will this last?
This is gonna take a while. I came up with it the other night in bed, and I was like, because I like the font of the tour name, because the font's in the emoji. You know what I mean? So the font, I like the font of the tour name, and then. And then you know how many people live in one of them?
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Does your team know about this?
Yes, what do they think? I hate it. I love it so much. I get so fucking excited for that.
And when will you announce that?
I just announced when I announced it. October 10th.
That's when you're going to do it?
I guess.
Or is that when this comes out?
Oh, no. They just said that we're going to have to announce earlier. So. No, I won't. It'll be soon. Yeah. I'll tell you when I get done numbers of what that's going to cost to do that.
I'll tell you now, based on the tour that I've been on and continue to do.
Yeah.
Fucking don't. It's a terrible idea. You don't need to do that.
Let's go back to my questions, Tom.
Okay. We were talking about inspiration and we covered fitness, sex, and like comedy, stand up.
And we talked about your new show. So when you get done with that,
I have a plan for it.
Really?
Well,
you could release it just on your website.
It's an option. So
I would just do that. And by the way, I would do that and then just keep making that. Like, because here's the thing that I don't, here's the thing that bums me out, right?
Yeah.
Very candidly, and I hope this doesn't come off wrong to anyone, but like The Cabin was a very big success.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Cabin, for people who don't know, is the show that you made on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. It was trended in the top 10.
Yeah.
On Netflix. It was the highest rated non-scripted series they had for a period of time. And it was fun as fuck to do. And we got kind of fucked on the pandemic because they weren't greenlighting anything. So we went into the pandemic. Like, it aired during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm bummed that, like, I'm powerless to do that again. Like now people at Netflix would be like, oh, yeah, we did do it. But it was so long ago. I don't know if it's going to have the same audience and whatever. Like, it's just, you know, it's like, it's not. I'm certain if I walked into Netflix and sat down and was like, I want to do another season of The Cabin, they'd be like, yeah, let's do it. And maybe they would. But I hate that I'm powerless to it. That I can't just decide to start doing The Cabin.
Oh, right.
Like, because I loved it. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I would love to do another season. I would love to do another season on a fucking boat and have The Cabin be inside. Like, I'd love to do my own, not do my own thing, but I would love for Netflix to be like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, of course. But obviously it's got to go up the thing. And then they're like, what was so long ago? Do people remember it? Like, there's a bunch of analytics that go in.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about doing your own thing, is that everyone goes, that you get to decide if you get picked up for a second season.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I never liked getting the decision of getting picked up for a second season. That always gave me anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's why it's one thing I hated about Travel Channel. What's the matter? You need a piece of paper?
Yeah, I need to write something down.
Halston, can you grab me a piece of paper? You're just writing on one of those hundreds. Here, do you want to write it?
I got this
calendar from Jesse Sweetser. Look at this.
What's this?
This is his thing. So this is your months, right? Don't get too close. I'll show you because I don't have it. So the months are on the back. I cut it in half because I was already done half the year when you sent it to me.
Yeah.
But it's really big. It goes on your wall.
Yeah.
And it's called the big ass calendar. And then these are the months on the back. And then he's got the months written out straight lined here, so you can see your month like linearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I really fucking love it. It looks like a book, but you can take it with you. And for me, it's more fun to write stuff down. What are you writing down?
Nothing. It's for after.
Okay. But I love that. I love
Where do you get inspiration from? Where do you get inspiration from for stand-up?
The girls and Leanne. Like, just, I don't know. I think I don't, like, I mishear things a lot.
Yeah.
that makes me giggle.
Yes.
And so that's a big thing about stand-up, is I mishear things.
Yeah. It is funny how they just fuel stuff. Like, my boys do.
Yeah.
They just...
It's kind of killing me, because I actually was thinking, when Isla goes to college, I may retire from comedy. Because what am I going to write about?
Yeah.
Like, they're gone. They're dead.
They're dead?
To me.
Because they went to college?
Yeah. And they left me with her. What, it's just me and her?
What do you think you're going to do?
Drink. What are we going to do? You know what? Last night we went to fucking dinner.
Yeah.
And Leanne's cool with being quiet, which is fine. If you're in a library or in a DMV. But when you're out with your husband, it's just me and her, and we're not drinking. She's just like this. And I went, say something. She's like, I don't have anything to say. I was like, okay. So when our food comes, I go, and I like this Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
It's called Tequila's.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how was your whatever she got? And she, enchiladas. And she goes, okay. I went, that's not how life works. You got to really kind of glow it up. I took a video of my fajitas were phenomenal. They were the best fajitas I've ever had in my entire life. I've never had a better fajita, shrimp fajitas. The perfect amount of shrimp. They evenly, like, sometimes they'll give you 11 shrimp. You're like, no, it needs to be 12 shrimp. So I get six in one and six in the other.
Yeah.
And I ate all the vegetables. The vegetables weren't runny. They were like crisp and like they were done well. And their sauce is awesome. And they gave me, I mean, everything was amazing about this meal. That's how I answer the question. How did you like yours? They're okay. Not my favorite.
And do you see a future of just conversations?
I got to teach her how to fucking, she's about to start partying balls and doing coke or something. To like step it up.
Yeah.
You know, because like you live this life with, I know that people get shitty when I talk about Leanne like this on this podcast. Literally, I get DMs like, bro, Leanne's I love her, like her podcast more than yours. Yeah. Seriously, Bert, I think you have real issues with your marriage. You need to be marriage counseling. Yeah. I'm fine. Okay, trust me, I'm fucking fine. But I will say that, like, when you have kids, there's all this razzle dazzle around you.
Yeah.
There's all this excitement, all this, well, shit, someone spilled it. Can we get another water? Hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah. She's snorting the water out of her nose now. It's coming out. Like, there's so much excitement with kids that when they, even like now, like last night, you know, the funnest thing we were doing was tracking the girls on Life 360. We're like, oh shit, they're at sushi. They're getting sushi. We should have gotten sushi with them.
Guess what?
What?
Just to put this in, 14 years from now, Julian will go to college.
You have 14 years full of fucking shah.
Yeah.
Just like, dad, okay, I don't want you to be mad. Like, those are the best.
Those are already, those happen all the time. Yeah.
Phone calls. Dad, I know you're on the road. I don't want to bother you. Okay, how would we get a penny out of Julian's nose? Like those phone calls are coming. Those are the best things in life. And then like we thought Leanne was pregnant in Italy, and I was like, fuck yes.
You did?
I did, yeah. She didn't think she was. She was like, but we did. She didn't have her period. And I was like, and I just was like, oh, I'm having a little girl, and we're naming it Italia. And we're going to have fucking, we'll name it Roma. And it, we'll just.
Would you be super jacked to have a kid right now?
Yes. I would love to have a kid because I'm not done being a parent. I just started, really. Like, I feel like I just started. Now they're going and they're, it's like Georgia comes in here and it's like hanging out with an adult.
Yeah. But Isla.
Yeah. That fucking kid.
I saw that clip with you and Santino where you were like, you know, she came in, she was like, you know, that it was Hail Hitler and not Hey Hitler.
She was the one when we were, I didn't know. Okay. This is a fun game. Okay. I'm going to say before Jesus or after Jesus. And you got to tell me if that happened. Okay.
Okay.
Dinosaurs.
Way before.
How many years?
Several hundred thousand.
35 million.
Yeah, many.
I thought it was like 5,000 years before Jesus. I thought it was like dinosaurs, then Jesus, then everything else. I didn't know there was stuff.
You thought it was right up to there?
I thought it was dinosaurs, then Adam and Eve, Jesus, and everything. I didn't know there was anything in between dinosaurs and Jesus.
Okay.
I thought it was Jesus, then everything else.
Okay.
And Isla, I've never seen this child laugh harder in her life. She goes, I can't believe you're my dad. She goes, what about Mesopotamia? And I was like, is that before Jesus? And she goes, it's the birthplace of man. And I went, so that's before Jesus. She's like, yeah, Julius Caesar, before Jesus or after Jesus?
Julius Caesar.
First of all, did you know he was real?
Yeah, he was a Roman emperor.
Right? I thought he was a play by Shakespeare. Like King Lear, that's not a real dude, right?
King Lear?
Google if King Lear's a real dude. Julius Caesar, before or after Jesus?
It's a good question. I can't say that I know the answer.
I found out.
Is after?
Before. Like 35 years before.
35, okay.
Like he could have known Jesus. Maybe it's 400 years, something like that. But the biggest Roman Empire. Like I learned all this in Italy, and I kept just going... So King Lear was a real person.
Okay.
So apparently, like, Shakespeare wrote... So Julius Caesar was just like Joe Biden, right? Like, just a regular old guy. And then he dies. Yeah. Like, they stab him a few times. And then Shakespeare created Julius Caesar into the dude we know today. The reason we talk about Julius Caesar is because of Shakespeare. Shakespeare was a fucking gangster after Jesus, by the way. After 100 BC was... Julius Caesar, born in 100 BC, died in 44 years before Jesus was born, Julius Caesar died.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
I never thought about it.
Like it overwhelmed me when I started going, here's what really fucked me up. So we go to the Vatican, right? And I'm like, I buy the saint medals.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy a saint medal. And then I'm like, wait, is this a real person?
Who?
All of it.
At the Vatican?
Like I'm buying these saint medals.
And okay.
I go, is this a lady? I go, is this real? Because here's what's fucked up. We have exact history on Julius Caesar. Exact history on Julius Caesar.
Sure.
We've got exact facts on Alexander the Great. before Jesus or after Jesus?
Alexander the Great, after.
Before Jesus. Before Jesus.
Was it?
Yeah. Fucking, dude, it gets so, Attila the Hun, before Jesus or after Jesus? After Jesus. Oh, Alexander the Great, way before Jesus. Yeah. Attila the Hun, after Jesus. Yeah. We've got Hungarian exact Empire. Facts on these motherfuckers.
Right.
Julius Caesar dated Cleopatra. We know this. He dated her. She's the one that said to him, technically, you got to become an emperor. Fuck being a leader. You need to run this shit.
Yeah.
Be a dictator. We have exact facts on him.
This is all you picked up on your Italian trip?
Yeah. And then when it gets to Jesus, we're like, well, you know, kind of. And I'm like, I'm sitting there as a guy who's got his, I'm in the Vatican with his fucking cross on my chest.
Were you respectful in the Vatican or were you loud? Yeah.
Hardcore. Very, very respectful. And
did you make the sign of the cross?
Oh, like 100 times, saw double numbers, don't anything. Yeah. I was out of my mind. My girls did not give a fuck. And then I'm sitting there going like, so St. Peter, he's buried here. He was killed here, right? They're like, he's buried here. And they're like, and she's like, we're pretty sure it's him. And I'm like, hold on. We know exactly where fucking Julius Caesar is. How do we kind of know where this guy is? She goes, well, you know, I don't know. You know, kind of, things are weird with the...
But
it's like how do, and this really fucked me up because I see myself as a guy who believes in God and I have faith or whatever. I don't go to church and I'm not like that fucking Bible thumper.
Yeah.
But like there are exact facts on everyone in history. But then you got like, and then Moses was like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because there's so much, you know, there's actually, you know what it is that the Bible is full of kind of birdisms, like some exaggerations to make the story better.
Now you got me listening.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
When I was 33, I got killed by the Romans. Here's how it happened.
That's exactly what's going on.
I grew up in Jerusalem. I wasn't a very good student. I was going to be a fucking... What do you call those guys?
Carpenter.
But then I was like, fuck it, my dad's God.
Yeah. Crazy. My mom didn't even fuck my dad. I just showed up.
I mean, we have these weird facts about Jesus that do not exist with anyone else.
Yeah.
Anyone else. Everyone else were like, he was born in this. They don't even know when Jesus was born. You know that?
Or where. And
what, they don't have like any of these facts.
Yeah.
And I got so fucked up in the Vatican.
It would be so great because there's all these takes on it, which are pretty accurate, that the way that Jesus is depicted is so far off from what it should have been.
They go, we're pretty sure he was actually a real man. And I went, hold on one second. There are priests. What do you mean we're pretty sure? What are you fucking talking about? You don't even know if he was a real...
He's probably dark-skinned, dark hair.
But Julius Caesar wasn't.
No, I know. But I'm saying that the way that Jesus is depicted in a lot of Western society, at least, is like blondish brown, blue-eyed.
So he'd be playing for the like, end one team.
He looks like Chris Hemsworth. And people are like, that's Jesus. And it's like, that's not what Jesus looks like.
Show me a picture of Jesus. Like, we know Michelangelo. Did you know his name was not Michael Angelo?
Yeah.
I thought it was Michael Angelo.
Yeah, no, that I did know.
See,
that image right there, that's like a movie star.
He looks
right?
like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, so now do what Google search what Jesus...
Black Lives Matter is Jesus
what
Christ.
Jesus Christ probably really looked like, you know? That's probably what JC looked like.
For real?
Yeah. But people are like, I don't want to pray to that guy. That guy looks like he changes tires. I want to get somebody that's a little more attractive.
That's what Jesus looked like?
Probably.
But it's not like... It's
your
like,
reaction, by the way, tells a lot. You're like...
Do you think they really think that's what Jesus...
Yeah, because...
Right, it's like seeing Superman your whole life, and then they're like...
Let me get a dozen glaze, and I'll try a couple of the those chocolate donut holes. Can I get some of those?
Hey, we got a wax and a shine, 30 minutes no longer.
Yeah, it's...
They really did a good job punching up Jesus.
Yeah, of course.
So wait, like, so go back to ethnic Jesus.
What's up, dog?
guy looks like a fucking cage fighter.
He looks like he runs a body shop. He's like,
he does look like he runs a body shop.
There's a dent. I'm gonna have, I could buff it out, but if you really want it to be look right.
But how do they know that's what Jesus really looked like?
Well, they're basing it
on. They don't even know he's a real guy.
They know he's a real guy. They know he's a real guy.
They don't even know the dinosaurs are real.
Wait, hold on.
Because you know they guess on dinosaurs? This is all the stuff that happened
to me. You mean like carbon dating?
No. So when I found out, this is what my daughters told me.
So this is why, though, by the way. So it's the area that he was from, right? Like that actual geographical area, what people would have looked like. He was a Jewish man, about 30 years of age, who lives in this time period in this area. This is what people would have looked like. That's why they go, this is more realistic.
How tall was he?
That I've never
heard. I bet he's 5'3". No, the average height of a man back then was like 5'3".
Really?
Yeah. Julius Caesar was like 5'4". Like everyone was tiny.
Let's see. In 2001, a forensic anthropologist, Richard Neve, created a model of Galilean man for BBC documentary, Son of God, working on the basis of an actual skull found in the region. Okay, so he did not claim it was Jesus' face. It was simply meant to prompt people to consider Jesus as being a man of his time and place, since we are never told he looked distinctive.
They never were like, he was a good-looking dude. The Bible, like, he's an average-looking dude. Hey, see how tall Jesus was? Those crucifixes were only like 6 feet big.
It's such a brutal way to fucking die. Dude,
St. Peter asked to be crucified upside down.
Yeah. So he went because he wasn't worthy of being crucified the same way as Jesus.
Yeah.
That was his rationale.
They said the best thing you could do to someone, he was 5'5". Jesus was 5'5". He's the same height as Rogan. Wait, Jesus does kind of look like Joe Rogan if he had a full head. A little bit. Well, it's not. Rogan grows a full beard like that. Put a wig on Rogan. I guarantee you he looks just like Jesus. Jesus was jacked, right?
I don't know if he was jacked. He did kettlebells. They
sleeved
said
in tattoos. Yeah.
Sleeved up. Yeah.
Sleeved up.
Yeah.
So dinosaurs are.
We definitely know that dinosaurs were real.
Yeah, but they don't know if that's what they looked like.
No, but I mean, like, sometimes there's complete
fossils. There's not. That was what I found out. There's not that I thought when you go into a museum and you see the T-Rex,
yeah,
you're like, oh, cool. They dug it. They were like, oh shit, here's a toe.
You're right.
And they dug the whole T-Rex and it's like sitting there like
sometimes
this.
there are a few fossils and they basically complete how they imagine this would all go together. Yeah. But they found almost completed fossils of dinosaurs before.
Have they seen not just fissiles. So they find the face, right. And then they're like, it pretty much looked like this.
But they'll find then a toe. Yeah, but no. But leg.
When you go to a museum, that's not all dinosaur bones.
Right, right, right.
They
right.
got like one dinosaur bone, and then they go, oh, and the rest is pretty much this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I kind of agree with too.
Look at that one right there. What is that? Can you make that one larger?
That's a full,
complete T-Rex rediscovered put on display, nearly complete Triceratops. That's fucking insane.
They found that. That's real. And that was 350 million years ago. Something like that.
Ew, you're so good at this.
Do you think you could get into digging up dinosaurs? I bet if you just randomly found one, like meaning you're in your backyard, you're like digging a hole and then you find a toenail. I bet if you find one, you get addicted. You're like, I bet they're everywhere.
You probably do, but it'd be all about like who you buddied up with. You'd have to have like a friend who's like, you want to go fucking look for some dinosaurs? Doing it solo is not the way to do it, you know?
Yeah, would you just go to a park? Like, I guess one's here.
Yeah.
And like, dinosaurs are fuel, correct?
What?
Dinosaurs are fuel.
What do you mean?
The reason we have gas is because dinosaurs, right?
I don't follow.
Dinosaurs decomposed, and then that created like oil, right? Or something?
I don't think so.
Just edit that out. All right.
I thought you were making a fossil fuel joke.
I was not, but I thought, what are fossil fuels? Yeah. So dinosaurs are fuel.
Okay.
Put this in the list of shit I don't really understand. Did you know that it's the moon is made out of green cheese, not cream cheese?
Green cheese? What do you mean?
That's the quote. But you ever heard that thing, the old quote, the moon's made out of cream cheese?
No, I've never heard that actually.
Type that in.
But I mean, the moon is a big rock.
I know, but I always thought the moon is made out of, I thought it was made out of cream cheese.
Okay.
It's the moon is made out of green cheese.
It was never an actual historical popular belief that the moon is made of green cheese. It was typically used as an example of extreme credulity, a meaning that was clear and commonly understood as early as 1638. The moon is made of green cheese. I'd never heard of that.
Well, I thought it was made out of, type in cream cheese. I thought it was made out of cream cheese. I thought it was the moon is made out of cream cheese.
Oh, so, and the quote is a statement referring to the fanciful belief that the moon is composed of cheese. Yeah, because I've heard the cheese reference before.
Yeah,
but I'd never.
Type in cream cheese. Yeah, I thought it was the moon was made out of cream cheese.
Yeah.
And it's green cheese, which makes no fucking sense. Not that.
I guess on some nights it looks green, right?
I have no fucking idea. I thought cream cheese. I thought it was made out of. It's.
Do you think Andrew Huberman and Lex Friedman would hear this and be like, these guys are fully fucking R-worded?
I bet both of them look at us like we're geniuses.
How so?
We're not burdened with all the shit they know. They know a bunch of shit that no one gives a fuck about.
I wouldn't say that. I think
no one gives a fuck about.
Science?
I would say... I don't care about science.
Well, that's why they have followings, those guys.
No, I know that some people do.
Right.
But I guarantee you they would look at us and be like, they are totally untethered. they're not attached to reality. They're not attached to.
I think they would be like, we really need to teach more. This is what's out there. These fucking dolts. Yeah.
I bet it would be like it's like we just have a different skill set than
yeah,
they do.
But that is true.
We have a different skill set. I have a very, 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 like, I bet there's things that you'd talk to Andrew Huberman about and he'd be like, no. Like tequila being healthier than vodka. He'd be like, that's actually not a thing. And I'd be like, well, I've tried
it. Look at my recovery.
Yeah, look at my recovery. I'm in the green.
Yeah.
What could we teach them? Like, what if we had a TV show where we taught lessons to brilliant people, but we taught them our lessons?
What would the lessons be that we would be teaching, though?
Blind faith.
That's it. Just bet on yourself, bro. Black.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Think about this. No disrespect for Andrew Huberman and Lex Friedman.
Okay.
On paper, of course they're successful.
Right.
They're geniuses.
Yeah, they have great.
As a matter of fact, I would say they're kind of falling short of their potential, in my opinion. We have surpassed our potential.
This is a really good point.
Right?
Yeah.
We're like the guy with no legs that wins the race.
These guys have like been given grants and have degrees. And
they're geniuses. Yeah. They're geniuses.
Yeah.
Find out what Lex Friedman's IQ is. I guarantee you I got him by like 60 points below.
Okay.
I want to take an IQ test with Lex Friedman. What's Lex Friedman's IQ? You know he's someone who's got an IQ. Like he's done definitely taking an IQ test.
Probably. He's probably embarrassed about how high it is.
Do you think Lex Friedman, if I text him on Instagram right now, he would be like,
he'd be like, you know what he would do?
He'd be like, hey,
he would minimize the importance of IQ results. He'd be like, well, the thing is, Bert, IQ isn't really that important. I scored a 212.
Doing a podcast with Tom currently, and we'd love to talk to you on the phone if you have a second. Tom Segura, he's a comedian. Lex Friedman is probably, how much do you want to bet Lex Friedman is a dude who checks his Instagram once at the end of his day?
Yeah, he's probably not
as a treat.
Yeah.
As like a
Huberman too. What do you think his IQ is? It's probably pretty high.
Calling him, texting him right now. Hey, Andrew, doing a podcast with Tom Segura. And we'd love to ask you a question if you have availability to hop on the phone right now. Those are the two geniuses we know.
Yeah.
Oh, Louis C.K. just texted me. Hey, Bert, you're my inspiration. That's Jesus, so crazy.
Wow, that is crazy.
How much fun was having Louis on your podcast?
So fun. He was great.
That
was
it's fun when you watch a guy like that who's just, he's untethered. Like, I'm certain if, like, Lex hung out with Louis. Oh, I can take that back. Louis is pretty, he is actually really intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, really. He's, like, book smart, too. Like, he's, like, have you ever seen his podcast with Shane Gillis about the presidents?
No, I heard about it, though.
He knows everything about the presidents.
Yeah, he has, like, a lot of specific knowledge, and he's a pretty wise guy.
Let's play a game. Okay? Let's play a game, okay? It's called Presidential Tap Out.
Oh, I don't know shit about
that. Halston, pull up the presidents on your thing so we can't see them, okay?
Just don't look.
Okay. So, pull up the presidents. Pull them up. And we're going to name presidents until one of us can't name a president anymore.
You mean in chronological order?
Nope. Just a president.
Oh, okay.
A president.
Okay.
And then the first person who can't name a president, it goes back to the next person. He's got to name a president in order to tap them out.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Everyone play along with us. Do you have the presidents? Okay.
Okay, so I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Washington.
What's his first name?
George.
Okay.
You have to do the first name?
Well, there's two of them, right? I'm kidding. I'm just trying to throw you for a loop. Grover Cleveland.
Okay. I think I'm out. Teddy Roosevelt.
George Bush. Senior.
It's George H.W. Bush.
Same.
George W. Bush.
Ronald Reagan.
Bill Clinton.
Jimmy Carter.
Richard Nixon.
Barack Obama.
John F. Kennedy.
Donald Trump.
Harry Truman.
Did I say Andrew Jackson already? Abraham Lincoln. My hands are sweating.
Joe Biden.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Polk.
Adams.
Fuck. Did you already say Jimmy Carter? did you say?
I got one. I got one.
Hold on. Adams. Did you say that?
Yeah.
You said Adams. We did those. Hold on.
My hands are sweating.
This is bad.
Gerald Ford.
Good one.
Betty Ford.
Yeah.
How many did we not get, Halston?
Dozens.
For real? There's 30? Hold on. Stop. Scroll. Okay.
You guys got about like 8 or 9 apiece.
So how many presidents have we got? 52?
No.
46.
46?
Yeah. We got 30. No. There's 30 left? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we got the.
Well, there's FDR. You picked Teddy Roosevelt. There's FDR. Right? Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay.
Then there's from the Whig Party.
Well, as I'm saying, we missed like the entire 1800s.
Oh, those guys are all fucking ham and eggers anyway.
You guys named about 18 total.
So let's see who we forgot.
Wow.
Go to the very top. First one is George Washington, right?
We got that guy. And then Adams, should have been our, right?
You want to go the other direction?
Yeah, that's the bottom.
Yeah, but start there.
It's like Drake said, we go from the bottom to the top. Okay. John Adams. Okay, yeah, we got the first two. Thomas Jefferson, we did not get Thomas Jefferson.
Didn't say Thomas Jefferson.
You didn't.
James Madison, we didn't get.
That's embarrassing.
Ashley Madison, I know. James Monroe.
Yeah.
John Quincy Adams. It's kind of the one I was guessing at.
Andrew Jackson
we said. Van Buren. Never heard of William Henry Harrison. Okay. Never heard. Was he assassinated? And it's a Whig. He was a Whig.
Yeah.
John Tyler. Tyler 2. Tipper Canoe and Tyler 2. Tipper Canoe and Tyler 2. Is that it? Tipper Canoe and Tyler 2?
Don't know.
Tipper Canoe. Okay. Polk, I would have thought of. Zachary Taylor.
Nope.
White Privilege.
Millard
Fillmore?
Yeah.
Is that what the Fillmore is named after?
I don't think so. Franklin Pierce, nothing.
I've never heard of that guy. I have no Buchanan is. Hey, now we're at Abraham Lincoln. Those are all
I can't
before.
Believe I didn't fucking say Grant.
Oh, Ulysses S. Grant?
Yeah, that's a...
Rutherford B. Hayes?
James Garfield.
Garfield's a good one. I would have known that. Chester A. Arthur.
No idea.
Copperpot. Grover Cleveland.
You got Benjamin Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison. Cleveland. Grover Cleveland again? He's pulling the Donald Trump?
William McKinley.
Grover Cleveland pulled the Donald Trump. Yeah.
And then now
McKinley,
we're
more, Roosevelt.
Oh, we didn't get Taft.
Taft.
Jesus.
Woodrow Wilson.
Also.
Harding.
Harding.
Coolidge. Kevin Coolidge is a good one. Herbert Hoover.
All right,
FDR. Now,
from here,
Truman.
We're good.
Eisenhower.
Did we get Eisenhower?
Yeah. Kennedy.
Yeah, we got
Lyndon
those.
B. Johnson. Nixon. Yeah, Ford.
We didn't. Yeah,
we
didn't
got
say
Nixon. We got Nixon.
I said Nixon.
Okay.
That was really bad.
Let's see if the two geniuses called us back. I'm driving.
Who's that?
Huberman, calling him right now.
Hello.
Andrew Huberman, you're live on Two Bears, One Cave. First time caller, big fan, big time listener. Thank you for everything you do in the health and wellness space.
Science.
It's Bert Kreischer. You're here with me and Tom Segura.
Thanks, guys. I've been told before that I look like each and both of you, so thank you. That's the nicest compliment I've ever got.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And I've been told that I look like a less attractive version of you, so thank you very much.
You guys represent my beard growth goals, but we can talk about the biology of beard growth all we want or not. But anyway, great to connect. We have a lot of common friends.
We have a lot of questions for you. First of all, I have to get you on my podcast. I want to talk about alcohol. I know that
ditto.
Everyone wants you on our podcast. You are all me and my trainer talk about. The only reason I spend time in a sauna and a polar plunge is because of you saying like 3 days and 3 days is the way to go.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to come on. I'm a big fan of both of your work. We have a lot of friends in common, and it'd be a pleasure.
Okay, first question: do you know your IQ?
I do not know my IQ.
Okay,
do you? Do you put any importance into IQ? Any value?
You know, the history of IQ tests is such that, you know, it has some value in terms of predicting test-taking performance in the academic setting. But, you know, all the business that you've heard around emotional IQ and musical IQ and creative IQ being distinct from that, all that is true. I mean, I think what we can gather from 50-plus years of really good research is that the only thing that IQ tests predict is performance on that specific IQ test. So I wouldn't put it as.
Oh, he's driving. That's what's going on. Yeah. Are you there? He's really good at talking.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing his podcast for.
Oh, he just hung up on me.
Well, he probably lost the signal.
Yeah, he lost the signal. He's really good at talking. He's a professor. Yeah, but when you ask him something, he says the answer like in a full sentence.
But he lectures.
Okay, Andrew, we got you. You there?
Got it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Real quick, Tom and I are trying to, because we've been talking a lot about you and Lex Friedman today, and we were talking about the differences between our quote unquote IQs versus your IQs, and how I'm sure we bring something to the table, but we're not sure what it is. So, here's a question: Do you think Julius Caesar was alive before Jesus or after Jesus?
Oh my goodness, you're probing on history. That sounds like a trick question. I would imagine Julius Caesar alive after Jesus.
It's before Jesus. Okay. All right. Perfect. So how many presidents do you think you could name? Tom and I together could come up with 16.
Oh, goodness. I could probably, I remember this little jingle from elementary school where it was like, what was it? Like George Washington, first president, then Tom Adams, Jefferson, Madison, then came Quincy Adams. And then I could probably list off some more recent ones, and I could probably, two Bushes, Trump, a Clinton, an Obama, a Carter, a Nixon, tell me
right.
What
okay, you got us. You already beat us. You already beat us. And now Tom wants the phone. Hold on one second.
Two things, Andrew, two things that I've taken recently from you is that I'm trying to get, I try to get direct sunlight 10 minutes, like when I wake up, and I feel much better about it. So thank you for sharing that tip. And the other one was that you shared about, I don't cold plunge if I'm strength training immediately afterwards, because it kind of can, you shared this fact about it, it could sort of work against the, you know, the purpose, like your muscle building.
Just to make sure that we're clear on this for your audience. So cold plunge immediately after, or I would say in the 4 hours after a workout, probably not a great idea if your goal is to get the adaptation from that workout, the strength or the endurance, because the inflammation response is actually something you want.
Right.
But if your goal is just to recover so you can train more, then go for it. Okay. Cold shower is probably fine. But if you are really want to get down in the weeds about it, I would just avoid deliberate cold exposure by cold plunge or by cold shower in the 4 hours, probably even in the 4 to 8 hours after a weight training workout or cardio workout that is designed to give you some sort of improvement in weight training or cardio.
And one last thing before I pass you back. You know, Bert wanted to make sure dinosaurs were real, right?
So I'm told.
Okay.
Okay. Not, but not the whole thing. Hey, Andrew, you are given one sentence you get to share with America about alcohol. What would that one sentence be?
The data on alcohol indicate that not drinking any alcohol is better for you than drinking a little bit, despite what you've read.
Fuck.
And that most healthy adults can safely consume.
There we go.
1 to 2 drinks per week before the negative effects of alcohol start to set in.
You're cutting out. I can't hear you.
The negative effects of alcohol include, I'll just be really clear, very clear effects on increasing leaky gut, liver, obviously, increased cancer risk, potential dementia risk. But look, I'm not here to dictate what people do and don't do. They should just know the risks. And everything that we do health-wise is on a backdrop of the foundational things, like getting enough sleep, getting sunlight, limiting stress, getting exercise, good nutrition, good social connection, etc. And genetics. So, you know, am I saying that somebody can't have 4 drinks a week and be healthy? No, I'm saying that most people would do well to drink far less alcohol or no alcohol.
Sure. And to be clear, Bert's only one of those guys. He's like 3 or 4 times a week. So it's not like he's that much more than the.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do that, great. But do the other things, which you are doing. And the form of alcohol probably matters. But
okay. With tequila?
You know, if I'm going to drink, I'm not a big drinker, but if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink a white tequila with soda and lime, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Boom, boom. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Andrew, I'm going to tell you, I have a Fitbit, and my recovery if I drink tequila, my recovery if I drink tequila is always in the green, and if I drink anything else, and like wine, red wine, or vodka, I am in the red, like I am horrible.
Do you believe
that makes sense? That makes sense. It probably matches your particular mode of alcohol metabolism. And maybe we just need to name a drink the Whoop.
Yeah, I like this.
How about psychedelics?
Do you believe in psychedelics and marijuana? What are your feelings on that?
Well, I believe they exist. Here's the deal. The data from clinical trials. Well, first of all, I want to be really clear that these are still Schedule I drugs, meaning they are not. The federal government in the United States still dictates that these have no medicinal purposes. That's the law. So I just want to be clear to people. If you get caught with these things, buying them, selling them, et cetera, you can go to jail. That's the law. The clinical trials that are ongoing now, and mostly out of Johns Hopkins, indicate that psilocybin, certain modes of LSD and MDMA in the clinical setting, so working with a qualified clinician in the laboratory setting, have been shown to have pretty impressive effects on intractable depression, so people who can't break free of depression, eating disorder, trauma, and of course, MDMA may have potential uses as an empathogen for increasing connection and awareness. Now, all that on the backdrop of A, they're being illegal. I'm not just saying this because I'm a university professor. I'm also just saying this because I do think that kids and people whose brains are still developing, so 25 years and younger, need to be exceedingly cautious because, you know, just you don't want to freestyle this stuff, right? This, if you opening up neuroplasticity, you know, rewiring of the brain and the dramatic chemical setting, you know, it can go any which way. And I do know people who've benefited tremendously from psychedelics. And I do know a few who've also suffered tremendously in the aftermath. So you just have to be smart about how you're approaching it. And let's hope that before long, people will be able to do this in a legal clinical setting. I think that day is soon to arrive.
Well, Andrew, I got to tell you this. I want to save this for when you're on me and Tom's podcast. Yeah. Because, like, Tom's in Austin. I'm here in L.A. Whenever you're available, I really can't stress this enough. Huberman's Lab is one of the best podcasts out there. You give such great information, and you're so good at talking. You're so good at sharing that information in a way that morons like myself can bring it in. Now, and granted, I kind of whittle it down and then share it drunk at a party. You got to do 20 minutes three times a week in a hot sauna. Got to get hot. You got to put towels on your head and then polar plunge right away. Don't do it at night. Like, but you're so good at sharing that information that thank you for having your podcast, man. I got to say that. And I say that on behalf of myself, my trainer, everyone in L.A. Like but the other day, they're talking about shit. They're talking about like blue zones or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. So you're fucking amazing, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
Big fans, man. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks for the kind words, guys. Again, big fan of you both, and I know we're all friends with Joe and Lex. It's one of the great things about podcasting is that unlike science, where if one person publishes something, you sort of everyone else who's working on that suffers. In podcasting, the more that people talk to one another and the same subjects are covered, it's like a rising tide raises all boats, and so. I'm grateful for what you guys do. You make me laugh super hard. You make me think really hard. Sometime I'd love to talk to you about comedy, and we know a thing or two about how it impacts the brain, what's funny, what's not funny. Anyway, I'm not funny. What I do know, however, is you guys are really great at delivering information and making it approachable. And so thank you. It was great to get the cold call, and you made my day.
We'll talk soon.
Hey, we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks, Andrew.
I have your number. I'll give you a text with me and Tom's number if that's cool.
Terrific. I look forward to it.
Awesome, Andrew. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Bye. He's so good at talking.
Yeah, he is. Like, he sounds almost like he has like the like almost old school nightly
Friedman.
News.
Lex Friedman. You ready?
Anchor, boom. Yeah.
Lex Friedman. We got Andrew Huberman and Lex Friedman on the podcast. By the way, we're a pretty good podcast, just me. We're pretty good guests too. But yeah, yeah. Like
Здравствуйте, Алекс. Меня зовут Бёрд. Очень приятно.
That's the best Russian you could do. Was that Russian even?
Lex, man, this podcast has been an homage to you. You're on with me and Tom Segura. We're doing Two Bears, One Cave. And I got to tell you, first and foremost, we're fucking huge fans. Tom is a little upset that he hasn't been asked to be on your podcast. But I did the best I could to interview him today the way you do interviews. You have great, thoughtful questions. Like, you're killing it, dude.
I like how you said Tom Segura is the comedian. Like, I would be confused. Which Tom is he talking? The skateboarder, yeah, I'm a huge fan of you guys. You guys are amazing.
Hey, Lex, I live in Austin.
Lex, do you live in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey,
like all the cool kids.
So first question, do you know your IQ?
No, I don't.
God damn it.
I don't. It's a really interesting question. It's really actually difficult to get to the IQ. You have to do multiple tests.
Yeah.
And just even the question about how to measure intelligence is I don't know. I think to do it right, you have to do a really thorough examination.
I think so.
And I don't.
Yeah, well, Tom and I don't have very. Anyway, do you have? Okay, second question. Do you think who do you think was born first, Julius Caesar or Jesus Christ?
Oh, you can't do that.
This makes me feel so much better. I thought it was dinosaurs, then Jesus, then everything else, and then I found out that it's there's some stuff in between dinosaurs and Jesus.
Quite a few things.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people with different opinions on that, right?
That dinosaurs aren't real? Are you about to say dinosaurs aren't real?
No, of course. Dinosaurs are real. But the Earth is definitely flat. But that's another. We should talk about that off the record.
Yeah. What about Bill Gates, man?
To show you. But About what?
What about Bill Gates? And he's fucking changing the weather, trying to inject us.
Okay, speaking of which, I was running along the river yesterday in Austin, and a guy ran up to me and said, big fan, I got to talk about Bill Gates. That's exactly. And we walked together along the river and talked about Bill Gates for an hour. He told me everything that Alex Jones was about. I'm clueless. To me, he is somebody who's trying to use his money to help a large number of people in the world. And, yeah,
but
Lex, here, Tom, I'm giving it to Tom. I'm giving the phone to Tom.
Yeah, that's because you're an intelligent, reasonable person that doesn't buy into the nonsense that all these conspiracy theorists get excited about.
Hey, man, they're open-minded in a way that's important in a society. Because you don't want to trust the powerful. That's what this country is built on.
You don't want to trust what?
The power centers, powerful people.
Oh, okay.
Challenge them. You have to question them. So I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and on that one, I don't know. He's one of the most hated people in America.
Yeah, he's become a very polarizing figure. But I have a lot of thoughts on conspiracy theorists, and they're not very positive.
Okay.
I don't know. It's fun though. It's fun.
It's fun because it entertains them and they feel like they have some insight. But you know, they're mostly stupid people.
Yeah, but we're all stupid relative to you know.
Yeah, we're all stupid relative to you. But I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, man, we don't know what's going on at all. We don't know much about the world. All the progress that science has made, all the progress that technology has made, we still haven't figured out most of what's going on around us.
That's true.
The universe, about how the mind works. So it's good to be open-minded.
Sure. All right, Lex, okay. Lex, next question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next question, and I have the answer. I want to see if you answer it right. What's the best podcast you've done?
What's the best? I'm very, very picky.
By the way, I have the right answer. I'm curious to see if you have the right answer, if you and I have the same answer.
Like, legitimately, you're asking me? Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a huge diehard fan of Rogan. I have to say.
Oh, yeah, Rogan's a good one.
Oh,
but
you're talking about me talking on my podcast?
On your podcast, on your podcast.
Oh. Well, there's a bunch of funny answers, but I got to say Elon. I mean, I'm a
AI
person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't. Yeah. but outside of that, I mean,
your Dan Carlin one was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, Dan Carlin is
people
you admire.
Yeah, you're so good.
I admire you and Tom, and your voices have been in my head all the time. We had a one-way friendship, and I have that same connection with Dan Carlin. So to meet that guy in person, right, meet your, like, imaginary friend, and then realize they're real, that was amazing.
I listened to Dan Carlin last night talk about Martin Luther. And
King.
Yeah, not King. Oh, okay. hey, open invite. Ever to do my podcast, you know that, and I'm dying to do your podcast. I want to see if I can make that date work that you hit me up. But same goes for Tom. I'd love to have
you on too.
And by the way, if you ever want to be a guest bear, please. Tom's in Austin. You are by far one of the most entertaining, interesting, thoughtful people on the internet. I love your podcast. I love everything you do, and just keep it up, man. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you, brother. Work on that Russian a little bit, then, will you?
Конечно.
Very well. Good job, brother.
All right, до свидания.
До свидания.
We got both of them.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Jennifer Aniston's texting me. Okay. Hey, we should in closing.
Yes.
All right. In closing.
Let's go.
Let me make sure if there's anything I left off. I have so much stuff for our next podcast. Ooh. Shit, you're right. All right.
It was a lot of fun.
This was fun. This was fun.
This was really good.
I can't wait to see your new project.
I can't wait to ask you a question.
Okay. I love you.
All right, love you too.
Bye. Bye.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.